God is many other things, I dare say. Righteous, holy, infinite, all-powerful, just. All of these are other attributes that get ascribed to God by the church on a regular basis. But if I had to pick just one descriptor to encapsulate the Almighty, it is love. It is love that connects with me the most, that I have found to be truest to my personal experience, and the concept that I have found to be the most instructive. God is love. And Jesus, so the church asserts, is that love made flesh. God's love with skin on it. Spending time with us. Sharing in human experiences, teaching and guiding, willing to die. Putting aside infinite power to be born a helpless baby. God is love. And so the thought is that as love is headed our way for the next month, and we'll arrive in the flesh in a nice, tidy, swaddled little package, we thought that it might do us some good to brush up on the subject. Hence, we'll be spending the 4 weeks of Advent in 1 Corinthians 13, the so-called love chapter, seeing how that might prepare our hearts for God's love among us. Let us pray, and then we will be about our business. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Love and hope today. So maybe you have had this experience. I was having a conversation with a good friend this past Wednesday that turned into what I like to call a litany of woes. So we were sharing what was going on in our lives, and we ended up on the more challenging aspects of life. It began with the personal stuff, you know, like family issues, Thanksgiving, fatigue, problems at work, all hers. I never have problems at work. Sick relatives, the deaths of friends. Then things take a turn toward the macro, right? The problems that our country is facing, not to mention the wider world. It's all going to hell in a handbasket kind of conversation. All the junk in the news. And we ended up compiling a pretty nice list of human misery. And for a bit, it was a fairly dark conversation. But before we slipped into the pit of total despair, this friend of mine asked if I had seen the recent episode of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, when Colbert's friend and fellow comedian Jon Stewart was on, actually interviewing him, right, in a very Colbert-esque way, which was, I think, just this past week, and I hadn't seen it yet, but I fixed that problem as soon as I got off the phone. And in this interview between Colbert and Stewart, they talk about all kinds of things, right? Family, the art of comedy, The Lord of the Rings, one of Colbert's favorite subjects, mining came up. But their conversation also landed on all the terrible things that just seemed to keep happening and keep happening. And Stewart asked Stephen, so how do you do it, man? You know, coming on the show every night, facing what's going on in the world, constantly taking in the toxins. And their conversation takes about a 15-minute detour. But then they come back around to that question. How does one handle a cold, cruel world? And for his part, Colbert responds by quoting verses from Archibald MacLeish, a former poet laureate of the United States. And the verses he quotes are from a character in one of MacLeish's plays who has been absolutely bombarded with personal tragedy. But he says this, take the even, take the odd. I would not sleep here if I could, except for the little green leaf in the wood, and the wind on water. And there's this awkward moment. And you can tell the crowd doesn't quite know what to do with this because it's just a hair too much depth for late night comedy. But man, oh, such good stuff. Meaning, because hope is alive. Even though the world is full of things like ash and muck and dead trees, there are also green leaves. There is still hope. And that doesn't sound like a very Christmassy reference, right? But how true to life it is. That all is not good. For the time being, anyway. And that is the impetus behind Advent. New Testament professor Matt Skinner says this: I like Advent because it fully confronts this fact that we simply cannot ever forget. It is a frank acknowledgement of suffering and difficulty and yearning and waiting and longing. This new season we have entered that is building up to the birth of Christ, the one whom the church proclaims as God's love in the flesh. This season, and not to mention the whole church calendar, opens up on a note of hope, but it's a genuine hope. It must be. Not simply a soft, cuddly hope or a jingle-belled, plastic reindeered, candy-caned, gingerbreaded kind of hope. And it is not just some twinkly, tinseled, holly-jolly hope. As wonderful as all the holiday decorations are, Advent does not, as Walter Brueggemann puts it, begin in buoyancy or celebration or in a shopping spree. The natural habitat of Advent is a community of hurt. It is the voice of those who know profound grief, who articulate it and do not cover it over. Advent begins with hope because the world is in need, because there is real pain. Advent hope is a hope situated not within some snow globe vacuum, but within global turmoil and individual loss. And like a green leaf in a desolate wood, it forces its way up, pushes up through the dirt, up from under such things like tyranny and Roman occupation, and up out of human cages at national borders, you see. It is a hope that is utterly dependent upon the kindness of strangers like scholars from distant lands. And it has also known loneliness and sadness. It is a hope coughed up by a tiny family 2,000 years ago choking on desert sands while fleeing as refugees from a murderous king. And it is a hope gasping for air as children choke on tear gas this past month. It is a hope with wet cheeks that in a world filled with every form of imaginable violence, with swords and spears and crosses or guns and drones and bombs, that someone, anyone, might be willing to put theirs down first. It is a hope worked out from the mass confusion between the value of things like oil and money versus the value of human life. Advent hope is aching for just one candle in the middle of the night, for some light against genuine darkness, because there is such a thing. And so it's with hope, real, desperate hope, for something to heal this place. That the people of God look to heaven and say, what have you got? To which God says, love is on the way. So that's not the most festive beginning to Advent, is it? But I do believe where we actually are, where we've been for far too long, despite the fact that Jesus was already born roughly 2,000 years ago. Despite the fact that since the very beginning of time, God has empowered us to enjoy life to the full and to treat each other nicely. But all is not well. So we have this raw spirit of Advent that still very much has its place. And we still look to God to break into this space, not because it'd be a fun idea, not just because babies are cute, but because we are hurting. Because we are still in need of more love. And so we still say, come, Lord Jesus, come. That the world would be filled with more light and more love till there is nothing else. Forever and ever. Amen.